you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, July 18th, 2023. And I'm excited to share my friend, Bishop Jonathan Franklin. In fact, last Friday, I was talking with him and I said, oh, I want to have you as a Testimony Tuesday. I appreciate Bishop Franklin for the year or two that I've gotten to know him. He was a part of a luncheon with the Ministry Leaders Network in Urbana a year or two back. He serves as the president of the Springfield Ministerial Alliance, which I hope to be a part of, and I joined one of their gatherings last month. I appreciate the great work and the passion that they have for reaching people for Christ and working together. Many churches represented by the Springfield Alliance. He's a faithful proclaimer of God's word. I've heard him deliver a few messages and some friends say, oh, you got to go to his church. It's the Mount Zion Apostolic Church in Springfield. The congregation loves him. The First Lady Terry is a sweetie. She was at the gathering on the steps of the Springfield Capitol last Friday, and it was a great time. Levi Vinson helped facilitate worship with a bunch of young people, and CeCe Doss was a part of that, and a number of people shared. In fact, Bishop Franklin also led out in prayer when I thought, oh, this guy's a passionate follower of Jesus. I appreciate him. But Bishop Franklin, what would you want our listeners to know by way of introduction?
I think the thing that I would say is that I love the Lord. Hmm. I discovered how much he loved me and just made it my life's passion to love him back in every way that I can.
Now, how long have you been serving at Mount Zion Apostolic Church?
I founded the church in 1990, so I've been there for 33 years now.
1990. And the First Lady, how long have you been married and how many children?
So come September, we will be married 48 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
We have four adult children and two adult grandchildren and two infant grandchildren.
Well, I'm going to come back to talking about the Lord's Prayer because you and I at the state capitol were talking about a passion, a book that you had read, and something that you want to institute or raise awareness of. And I'm all in on encouraging people on the Lord's Prayer. But before we talk about that, share a little of your faith journey. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did. My father, my grandfather were preachers. My father was a pastor. Grew up in a very devout home. Mother and my father were just wonderful examples of disciples of Christ. And so everything that I needed to know the way, the right way to go, was provided for me.
Provided and modeled. So was there a certain point when you recognized yourself as a sinner needing Jesus, needing a Savior, or was it just so modeled well that from an early age you just knew Jesus was your Lord and Savior?
Well, I knew I was a sinner, and I was a sinner until I wasn't. But I always knew the word of God, that God sent his son to die for us. I ran from it for quite a number of years. Probably I was in my 20s before God arrested me and caused me to turn my attention to him fully.
And was it the love of God that broke through? Because I'm thinking there's people from all sorts of life experiences on that continuum of a faith journey, some maybe not even believing there's a God that cares about them, to the senior saint that revels in the goodness that God provided another day for them to represent him or for them to experience his love. When did the love of Jesus really break through where you thought, wow, not only am I saved from hell, but I can experience this enormous love, the love so much so that he died for your sins, he died for my sins? When did it come that personal?
I think when God made himself real to me. I was asleep in bed one night, and probably around 10 o'clock the phone rang, and I heard my parents on the phone. It was my brother calling home from college, informing my parents that he had gotten saved. And when I heard that conversation, such conviction gripped my heart. Although I did not surrender at that point, from that point on, I could never again deny the reality of God. And I lived a life of conviction until I finally surrendered to that and said yes to the Lord.
And then when did God bring Terry into your life, the first lady?
Well, we attended the same high school, and I chased her. She ran from me. But not long after I got out of the service, out of the military, paid her a visit, and that was when things took the turn that I preferred they would take.
Now, did she see you in your uniform? Was that my brother's a Marine? And he, that's...
Right. No, she didn't see me in my uniform, but okay. She did. Her words were, I seemed more mature.
And then when did you sense God's calling towards the pastorate? Did you have a different calling prior to that, or did you feel like you were to serve him, you know, teaching and preaching and, you know, reaching the lost and equipping the saints?
I informed my father before I was 10 years old that I was going to be a pastor. So that was something that I always knew from the earliest of age. I had a kind of a Samuel experience where I was playing in my room, and I heard my father call me, and I went in to answer him. And of course, in those days, when your father called you, your answer was yes, sir.
Yes.
And he said, I didn't call you. And I went back to playing, and I heard it again. I went back in. He said, I didn't call you. It happened a third time. Well, he being a man of the word, sensed that something was going on, and he said, if you hear it again, just say, here am I, Lord.
Gosh, that's just like, is it Eli?
Yeah, Eli and Samuel. Yeah. Now, I didn't realize that until I'm grown and saved myself and read that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh,
wow,
that's what happened way back then. And so it's all, you know, because I grew up in that home, experiences with the things of God have just always been familiar for me.
And then would you say part of your ministry work at Mount Zion Apostolic Church, is it evangelistic? Is it equipping? Is it reaching the lost? Or is it a combination? Do you have a certain passion, or do you love teaching or proclaiming God's word?
I think that I am a teacher in terms of the primary anointing that's on my life. I'm more comfortable in a teaching setting than any place else. Our church is evangelistic. Well, church itself is evangelistic. Right. It's why we exist, to bring the word of God to a lost world. And any church that does not have that as their primary focus is off track. And so we have always engaged in whatever various ways of evangelism that we could find to do.
Well, I've seen you very involved in the Springfield area on various committees. As mentioned during my brief introduction, that you serve as the president of the Ministerial Alliance of Springfield and Vicinity. I think you've been on other committees, and you have a passion also towards prayer. And you and I were talking about this new initiative that we hope will get launched. It's being prayed up and talked through, and I hope to serve maybe on that committee or to be involved in any way I can. But you were struck by a book about the Lord's Prayer. Is that how some of that is coming together?
Yes. Here recently, I attended a prayer workshop hosted by Pastor Roger Grimmett and the First United Methodist Church. And the presenter was Reverend Terry Takel. I believe he's from Texas, but he has written a lot of books on prayer, on the subject of prayer. His latest book is called Praying the Lord's Prayer at Noon. And he tells the story of how in the Houston area that became a movement where they were praying the Lord's Prayer every day at noon. And, you know, it was Jesus' instruction to his disciple. So, you know, every denomination, you know, holds that prayer as sacred. Mm-hmm. And so it is an opportunity for us to lay down our denominational differences, our doctrinal differences, and do something that Jesus directly mm-hmm. instructs his people to do. And so this praying the Lord's Prayer at noon is a call for unity mm-hmm. Among the churches within a community. My passion and the reason I serve as president of the Alliance, we, Mark, are living in, I believe, those perilous times mm-hmm. that the Bible said were going to come. I believe we're living in the book of Revelation today, the things that we see going on in our world. And we've lost the battle for our society. It has been completely co-opted by the powers of darkness. Our children are being indoctrinated into things, are being groomed. And so the only recourse for the church and those who say that they are on the Lord's side is to come together in whatever ways we can. Nobody has to drop their doctrinal particulars, but there are a lot of ways that we can come mm-hmm. together and show our communities that the church, we are followers of Jesus first. And so it calls for the entire Christian community to stop whatever it is you're doing at noon. If you're having lunch, mm-hmm. you know, put the fork down and fast for 30 seconds and pray the Lord's Prayer. It takes about 30 seconds to do. Whether you're at work and you're sitting at your desk, or whether you're driving down the road and your alarm goes off that it's noon and you stop and you pray the Lord's Prayer, it is a way to foster unity without anybody having to give up anything. But we need it. God says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And in that atmosphere, God commands the blessing. And we need the blessing of the Lord on our city, on our community, on our nation. And so as I read that book, I said, boy, this would be a great thing for the Springfield community if those who say they're on the Lord's side would just stop and give God 30 seconds. You may want to pray longer than that once you've gone through the prayer, but it's a way that everybody can contribute to permeating the atmosphere with the presence of the Lord.
Yeah, when you suggested and started talking about that, you flipped my switch, as they say. It was like, I was all in. I'm like, how can I be a part of that? And I thought, I love the fact that I said, now, is this every day? Is it once a week? Do we all gather at a location? You said, no, Mark, the ultimate goal is people wherever they're at. Mm-hmm. So they can do it at home. They can do it at work. And we talked more about it. Yeah, maybe there'll be some gatherings where people can be joined together.
Right.
But everyone can do this at noon, wherever they're at, and we can maybe get a whole movement of people. And I thought way beyond the Springfield, I thought with our coverage area, we can get all of Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, and we can maybe start a whole campaign at noon every day. And hey, if it's 12:03, you can still do it. The goal is that we all recognize God through the Lord's Prayer. And then the other thing, in fact, this Sunday, I've been asked to share and speak and fill in for the pastor at the Arrowsmith Christian Church. Mm-hmm. And part of my topic was the Lord's Prayer and serving God at work. And I've been thinking, I told you about this, every day I do the Lord's Prayer in the morning mm-hmm. when before I get out of bed, and then at night. And I stop and I go through each of the words. And I've been thinking of the sermon message in my brain for months. I just keep thinking, I got to deliver this somewhere. And then I got an invite to fill in at this church in Arrowsmith. And I thought, I know exactly what God wants me to do. And it's to talk through the Lord's Prayer, each of the words. And then I have some other things that I want to say. But this initiative, I know there's some meetings going on, and I want to be all in on it and alert people, but what's the name of this book in case they want to purchase a copy? But you'll be hearing more in the coming days, because I think what a great idea. At noon every day, be mindful of the Lord's Prayer. As Bishop Franklin has mentioned, it's about 30 or so seconds, and you can pause and you can do it as you're walking into work or walking back from lunch or going out to lunch or wherever you're seated. You don't have to necessarily recite it out loud. You can think it in your head. But wouldn't this be a great way to mobilize all of us at noon to be cognizant of the fact that God wants to bring unity, He wants to bring hope? This Lord's Prayer was modeled by the Lord Jesus. He taught it to His disciples, so it's the red letters in the Bible. I mean, how could you go wrong with modeling something Jesus taught us to do?
So the name of the book is Praying the Lord's Prayer at Noon, and the author is Terry Teykel. T-E-Y-K-L.
T-E-Y-K-L. Praying the Lord's Prayer at Noon. Who knows? Maybe I'll have a future interview with him and we'll maybe purchase copies. I think you've purchased additional copies and we'll see how we can raise awareness and get us all thinking about it's noontime. It's time to pray the Lord's Prayer.
Right, right.
Well, Pastor Franklin, one thing that I've appreciated the year or two that I've gotten to know you or hear about you is the importance of unity, the importance of the church modeling Christ to a hurting world, the importance of all of us being those ambassadors. You happen to be African-American, and as I was sharing before our program, I'm your brother of the lighter hue. I love that Jeffrey Johnson or a pastor friend said, Mark, God loves variety. He loves diversity. He has created this world with all sorts of colors. And you're one that wants us to be modeling Christ to everyone. And I think the most effective way is when we represent the kingdom of God with the variety that He's created.
Well, He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love. You have love. And love is what love does. It's not just words, but we have to model the love of God toward one another first, but also toward the larger community as well. And I think we need to do a better job of reaching out to those who are not a part of our particular fellowships and be inviting and loving towards them. And I think the principle is when people see that, then, you know, everybody wants to be loved. And when they see that here is a group of people that just model unconditional love, the God kind of love, I want to be a part of that.
We opened up the program with one of your favorite verses, Proverbs 4:18, which says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. Now, that's the NIV rendering. Maybe you have the King James or a little different version, but why pick that out as one of your favorite verses?
It states what life should look like for a saint of God, a person of God. And I'm an old school King James. You know, I have every version that I can lay my hands on, but I live by the King James Version. And that version says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. And so that's talking about our spiritual growth and progress. We start out walking in the light that we have. And as we walk justly before God, then He gives us more light. And He gives us more light and more light and more light until we arrive at that place of perfect light in Him.
That's kind of that sanctification process also that we go through. Like, we'd first begin by recognizing we need a Savior and ask Him into our heart. And then everything goes perfect and there's no longer pain or suffering. Our checking account always balances. I mean, there's still heartache. It's a sin-fallen world. And there's that process where we grow and we learn and we develop and we fail and we lean into Jesus and we ask for forgiveness. But it's like that trajectory. We always want to be growing and modeling Christ to others. But it doesn't just mean that life becomes easy once we come to Christ, does it?
Actually, life becomes very challenging.
Yes.
I use the term, we become schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You know, before we come to Christ, sin rules our life. When we become born again, and I don't use the word saved a lot, but born again, then the battle begins. Mm. All of a sudden, we are double-minded because we're still in this flesh, and yet we're walking in the Spirit. Mm. And as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, then we can leave the things of the flesh behind and draw closer and closer to God. But, you know, for me, Christian maturity is where we come to the place where, as James says, we count it all joy when we fall into different difficulties. Mm-hmm. They're going to come.
Right.
It's how we handle them and process them in such a way that God can be glorified by what they see in how we, you know, if I smash my thumb and with my hammer and some people are looking for me to let out some choice words, but when they see me, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know, then they know that there's something going on with me that they need to take a closer look at.
Yeah, and I think for those of us that understand God's character, that he's good, that he's loving, full of grace and mercy, he's not this mysterious God that just wants to punish us and send us to hell, that he cares, that he wants to be involved in our lives, and that he's compassionate. When we have that proper understanding of who God is, we'll be drawn to him. We'll relinquish control because we know he is a good, gracious, loving God.
Right, right.
Mm. Well, listening friend, I hope you've been encouraged by today's broadcast. It is archived at wluj.org, also at greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab. And please be praying up Bishop Jonathan Franklin. He pastors at the Mount Zion Apostolic Church here in Springfield. He's a man of God, and I appreciate the influence he's had on my life and how he wants to reach the lost and continue to equip the saints so that we can be those faithful disciples of Jesus and those ambassadors to God, because this is a hurting world, and these are dire times, and we have that opportunity to share that good news message of Jesus. So be praying up Bishop Franklin, and recognize that today, as you go into all your world, you have that opportunity to preach the good news. You can be the difference maker for somebody for all eternity. Share about Jesus because he cares for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Bishop Jonathan Franklin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.